Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Letter to the Romans. Does God love you? You might be surprised at how many Christians answer that question in a negative manner. In fact, those who hold such a belief don't even like themselves, somehow feeling that God only tolerates them because Jesus died for their sins. Nevertheless, in the book of Romans, Paul states that God the Father loved us while we were yet sinners and sent Jesus to reconcile us back to himself. Our Heavenly Father did not wait until we got cleaned up, but sent Jesus to die for us when we were dirty and unlovable. King David was a liar, adulterer, and murderer, but he knew about repentance and restoration because the Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. He experienced divine love, and you can too. This message is entitled, The Love of God. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. And today, I'm going to be speaking about the love of God. I hope that this message is going to be a deep message for you that would help you. Some of you have a problem with this area, and I had a problem with this area for many, many years. And from time to time, it crops up. And I just realized that I hated my name. For years, before I got saved, I did a lot of bad things. And I was not proud of myself. I got saved, called into the ministry, and I thought that everybody loves everybody. Until I found out differently. And when somebody says the name John Terrell, I shrink, I shrivel up. Oh, that name, that's not a good person. You know, for years, I've been criticized, labeled this, labeled that, and so I really don't like to hear my name. I try to run away from it, and I realize that God would heal your soul. And many of us have soul damage. We think we have it healed, but sometimes things crop up. We're going to read from Romans. Before I go read Romans chapter 3, let me go to Romans chapter 3 right now. And one of the first things, or hardest thing to understand, is the love of God. We are self-centered, easily provoked, quick to judge, full of gossip, and we are born liars. In Romans chapter 3, if you pick it up here from verse number 10, as is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There's none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. They are no fear of God before their eyes. Now, that's a description of you and me before we were born again. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, even after we are born again, our sinful nature will pop up, and we will say things, and do things that we really shouldn't say, and we feel bad afterwards. This is a concept now that I want you to grasp. I know that I was born in sin and wicked in the eyes of God. Nevertheless, despite my faults, Christ died for me and saved me by his grace. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul brings out here through the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus did not wait until the human race had repented, got cleaned up, and said, now we are ready to be saved. He saved us while we were still sinners, while we were just in our sins. Christ went to the cross, paid the price, got resurrected on the third day, and payment was made in full for our sins. Amen. It is hard for us to understand that, because as human beings, and let's be honest, naturally, I like people who likes me. If you meet somebody that is hostile, your natural reaction is, I don't like this person. I don't care for that person. I'm going to do this or that to that person. If you find somebody nice to you, you say, okay, they're nice. Now I like them. But you know, our relationships are not always perfect. And so if you have a friend that crossed you, you wipe them out of your book and says, I'm no longer friends with that person. That's a goner. I can't stand that person. That's how we are with a sinful nature. Now, God loves us. Jesus loves us. The Holy Spirit loves us. And he simply said this, I'm going to love you regardless if you want it or not. Let me repeat that. God said, I don't care if you are rejecting me or not. I am going to love you. That's the reason we came to Christ. We felt that love, the need to be saved, and we repented of our sins. We got a problem. If I would ask you today, who are you? You would say, well, this is my name. You would identify yourself by your name. You would say, this is my vocation. This is the work I do. You would identify yourself as a doctor, attorney, bricklayer, electrician, whatever profession you have. You say, this is me. You will define yourself what your parents told you when you were growing up. You will define yourself by what your siblings say. You will define yourself what they said in school about you. Unless we have sat down and said, who am I? The image that you have of yourself is what other people told about you. And we believed it, we accepted it, and it locked us in. And this is why we have problems. We are a new creation in Christ. And we need to begin to identify ourselves. Now, your physical body is a product of your father and your mother. They are in, the body is of a family. But your soul was not conceived by your mother. Your soul was conceived and made by God. Inside of us is a soul that is not tied to the family. The soul is shaped by the family. But your soul is made in the image of God. Your body has a DNA. Your body has a trait of your bloodline, but not your soul. You're not going to take your body with you up in heaven. You're going to come up with your soul, and you're born again, your spirit. And when you get up into heaven, your soul is going to be the real person. So we need right now on earth to differentiate ourselves and say, yes, these are my earthly parents. They gave me a body. But my soul was made by God. I'm going back to God. I am not tied to any person. I'm not tied to any families, any race. I am a child of God. If we have that concept, we can begin to shake loose. You see, we don't have to be bound by the family curses. We don't have to be bound by the way we were raised and educated. We don't have to believe what was told about us, that we were not good, useless. We can break that and simply say that I'm created in the image of God. I'm a new creation. If you can begin to redefine yourself, who are you? I'm born again. I'm born again by the Holy Ghost. I got a soul and a spirit. Who are you? I love the Lord. I love the Bible. I love to forgive. I love to help people. I like to be used by God. I want to be His vessel on this earth. That's the definition you should have of yourself. If you have that definition, your body automatically will begin to heal from different diseases. One reason we get sick is we hate ourselves. And when the soul is unhappy and you hate yourself, it will take it out on the body. And it can cause all kind of different diseases, from arthritis, cancer, loss of hairs, appetite, digestive problems, diabetes, you name it. They are basically sickness caused by soul damage. And it is so hard to be healed from soul damages, because it's so much ingrained, the pain and the damage was so heavy ingrained. There's only one way to really get out of that soul damage: forgiveness. It doesn't matter how bad people treated you. If you want to be healed, you have to forgive. You have to say, it hurt me so bad. I lost so much over that person. But I am going to be Christ-like. Christ died for me when I was still a sinner. I'm going to forgive that person before they repent. While they're still ugly and bad, I'm going to forgive them now. That releases damages. Then you need to forgive yourself. Because, you see, we have made many mistakes, all of us. Bad decisions over the years. We lost this, we lost that, and so on. And we said, you know, man, I was stupid, I was dumb, I was no good, I can't believe what I did. You got to learn this. You have to forgive yourself. You have to forgive yourself. You need to say, If God loves me, if He has forgiven me, I'm going to forgive myself for all the bad things I've done and all the things that I regret. You need to forgive. Let me try to illustrate that for you. I like to think of myself as fairly intelligent, fairly educated, and together. We have 10 acres here. So we got to cut a lot of grass. And so I have a lawn tractor. And a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I was running it, had a flat. So I said, well, that's no big deal. We got a jack. And we took the wheel off. Didn't think a whole lot about it. Said, well, that was easy. Took the wheel down to Firestone. Said, you know, fix it. So they got it fixed. They got it back. Here we are now going to put it back on. And I noticed now something. I noticed a groove in the shaft. And I see a groove in the hub. And I say to myself now, somebody put it in for a purpose. We put the tire back, actually the wheel back, and it is spun. You see, there was a little piece called a key, about an inch and a half long, $3 worth, and when we took the wheel off, we didn't realize that. It fell off someplace. And here I have now, lawn tractor, nice tire, fixed, and I'm standing and saying, I'm missing something. Now, what does it do to me? I get mad at myself. What's the first thing I say? How stupid could I be? Where's my brain this morning? So I go on the internet, find a dealer, call him up, talk to the technician. He says, yeah, you need a little piece, only $3. It took about 2 weeks to get it ordered. So yesterday, we got the piece, got it in the wheel, stuck it in, tightened it up, and it worked fine. How tall did I fail? About quarter of an inch. How could I be so stupid? I got a degree in engineering. How could I be so dumb? And I realized I had to accept that I have a sinful nature. I am not perfect. I got to forgive myself. And I got to accept the very fact you and I are going to make mistakes continually. We can pray to God to make us smarter. We can simply say, well, I'm not going to repeat that. If I ever take a wheel off again on that lawn tractor, I know what I'm looking for. That's how we got to do. We got to learn. But we got to stop putting ourselves down and feeling like an idiot. Let's read from Romans 5, now we're going to pick it up here. I'm going to read verses 7 through 10. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, being not justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What did God see in you and me when Christ died for us on the cross? He saw a physical body, but he's not really that interested in the physical body. That's temporary. But he sowed to your soul. And when God made your soul, he put a lot of love into that. He put a lot of talents into that. A lot of characteristic into your soul that he simply made. Because he said, I want to bring that soul to heaven. But because of the Adamic sin, when he created your soul, he also had to create a dead spirit. And so when your body was conceived, there was a soul and a dead spirit put in that body. God wanted, when you were growing up, old enough to repent, he wanted to save you and simply give new birth, make your dead spirit come alive again. That's the new birth. And what God sees in you and me is, he sees the soul, we still got a sinful nature, but he sees the spirit born of God, and he simply says, I paid for it, I'm going to justify you, I am the one that justifies you, I'm the one that I give you my righteousness, and when you leave this earth, the sinful nature will be taken out, and you will come into my glory, and you will become the person I created you to be. That's what Jesus saw. The devil looks upon you and says, you know, I hate you. I hate you. You're going to go to heaven. I'm going to go to the lake of fire. I want to destroy your life. I want to make your life so miserable that you're going to lose the rewards in heaven, that you will come in with nothing. I will steal whatever I can steal. I steal your life. I try to steal your future. That's the struggle we're in right now. And we got to understand, God loves us. And now we got to be able to accept to love ourselves. When you have a chance, sit down with a piece of paper and a pen. Write down all the things that you think negative about yourself. Write them down. Then look upon them. Who said this? Who said that? What did I say? Then hold that piece of paper up and say, Lord, this is how I view myself. You died for me. You saved me. I need to be healed from this. Pray over each point. Go through it in your mind and say, Jesus, help me to forgive myself for doing this. Help me to forgive that person. And you go through the list and empty out all the bitterness, all the resentment, all the anger. And then say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I'm not ugly. I'm beautiful. I'm not a bad person. I'm a good person. I'm not a hateful person. I'm a loving person. I am not an unforgiving person. I am a forgiving person. Jesus, make me, mold me into your image. That's how we get set free and can begin to live a victorious life. Let me take you to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We're going to be talking about King David. You know, King David had a rough life. We read in the Bible he was the youngest of the siblings, and no one liked little David. They despised him. They put him out there to take care of the sheep. He never had a brother come up and say, "Hey, David, I'm proud of you." They always said, "Little David, no good." When David came up as a young man, and he was going to slay Goliath, he could go out to fight Goliath, his brother came up and said, "We knew it. You're a miserable little thing. You come here to get glory, this and that." They put him down. He slew Goliath. He was elevated up. And then King Saul began to hate him for no cause. And he had to run for his life. For a number of years, he's a fugitive, always hunted. He finally got so tired of it all. He went over to the Philistines. And he found he was mentally ill, drooling, spittle, and just acting like an idiot, hoping they would not kill him. Faith lost. He stayed there for a while with men. And then he turned back again. God raised him up. He became king. And he started collecting women. When people crossed him, he used his power as a king to say, "Kill him." They were falling that person with a sword. He was sweet. He was bad. He knew it. He saw Bathsheba, committed adultery, murdered her husband, took her as a wife. King David had many failures in his life. I'm sure when he looked upon himself, he said, "You know, I'm just a piece of trash. I'm not that good." The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And what was it that made him a man after God's own heart? His willingness to repent. Recognize, I made a mistake. I need to be forgiven. I'm sorry. Psalm 51 is a prayer that was written down after the prophet Nathan had found out he committed adultery. And let's read it. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." He didn't come to God and says, "God, I'm going to do this and this for you." He said, "According to your mercy, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, that my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you might be justified when you speak and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you desire truth in your inward parts. In a hidden part shall you make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Some of you might say, "What is hyssop?" That was the type of soap they had in those days. In the modern translation, "Purge me with soap, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors their way, and sinners shall be converted unto you." Deliver me from blood guiltiness. O God, you God for my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open you my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. When we have sinned, we don't want really to come to God. We feel out of fellowship. And we feel we got to kind of warm up, but God got to warm up toward us. But I want you to understand this. God does not think like we do. God does not have the emotions like you and I do. When somebody crosses you, somebody do you hurt, and later on they ask for forgiveness, you forgive. But it takes time for you to warm up. You're not going to say, oh, yippee, let's have a party. You can say, fine, you know, that's okay, I forgive you. But you know, stay a little bit far away from me until I know that you have repented. And let's warm up before I bring you in that we can have fellowship. That's how humans are. That's not how God is. The moment we repent, his arms are around us. He's kissing us. And he's simply saying, you're restored. Back into my love again. Back into my relationship. Instantly. It's hard for us to accept that. We feel, well, you know, I got to make some kind of payment on this. I got to do, you know, if you're Catholic, you want to do 50 Hail Marys, but do not go any good anyway. And, you know, we say, well, I got to fast a little bit. I got to do something about praying here. Well, I want to give to the church. I got to do this and that. Forget it. When you say, Lord, forgive. He said, yes, I will. And you are instantly restored to his fellowship. Amen. The problem is, you need to restore yourself to the fellowship. Yourself is holding back. Forgiveness, forgive, and receive forgiveness. Let's turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. You know, you think about this. King David, a man who failed hundreds of times, was used by God to write the songbook for Israel that they sang. The Psalms. How many times have you not read a psalm? And it comforted you. They were written by a man that has lots of failures. Amen. Had failed many times. Was a murderer. Adulterer. He repented. But you see, it is not you doing the good works. It is Christ in you. Amen. The Holy Ghost doing the thing. These psalms was not written by David's soul. They were written by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Working through David's soul. That's how God works for you and me. He works through us. Listen to this psalm. Bless the Lord of my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord of my soul and forget not all his benefits. David now is speaking to his soul. He says, soul, start blessing the Lord. Bless him. Soul, heed, obey. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heeds all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Lest you slow down. Let me read those words. Open your soul and spirit and take it in. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. That's our Heavenly Father. That's His emotions. Those are His feelings. Now you need to accept that and say, wow, if that's true, I'm going to accept that. He will not overchide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He's not always going to get after you. He's not going to keep His anger forever. He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If God was going to be just and deal with us what we deserve the lake of fire. Period. But He's not dealt with us according to that. For the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As high as heaven is, so great is His mercy toward us. Amen. If you worship Him, His mercy is endless. As far as east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgression from us. Like a father pities the children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So why do you remember your sins? God's not remembered them. You repented. God's not remembered them anymore. There's only two beings that remember your old sins. You and the devil. And the devil tells the demons. Now how long are you going to cling to your old sins? When are you ready to drop them and say, I forgive Him for that long time ago. I don't do that stuff anymore. I'm not going to feel guilty over that anymore. Someone watching me right now, you might have had an abortion years ago. And you repented of that. And God forgave you. But you never forgave yourself. You always care that, man, I killed my child. You got to remember this. God forgave you. You need to forgive yourself. Some of you might have murdered someone. You were not executed, but you spent time in prison. And you got out. And you think about that person that you killed and took his life. You ask God for forgiveness, He's forgiven you. And you got to remember now, God forgave you. Forgive yourself and move on. The Apostle Paul, before he came to Christ, his name was Saul. Saul used to murder Christians. Not one, but many. He enjoyed that. He thought they were serving God. God saved him. He couldn't go back and bring back to life the people he murdered. He was forgiven. He said, I'm the least of the apostles. He always felt that pain. But God restored him. I want you really to think right now and hear what I'm saying. God took Saul. A murderer, a proud man, a Pharisee. And He took him and He saved him, baptized him in the Holy Spirit, called him to the ministry. Amen. And God used an ex-murderer to write half of the New Testament. Think about that. When are you going to forgive yourself? When are you going to begin to re-identify yourself Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away. I'm a new being. Don't look at the past. Don't carry your sins in suitcases with you. Release them. And simply say, I'm a child of the King. The Holy Ghost can work through me and do marvelous things. Let me turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, right now. The Gospel of John, chapter 21. John 21, verse number 15. So when he had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And the word used here was agape. Do you have divine love for me? He said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you as a friend. Phileo. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Jesus now said to Peter, do you have divine love for me? Divine love, forgiveness, release. And Peter said, now I got love like a friend for you. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Do you have divine love for me? He said to him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you as a brother. He said to him, feed my sheep. Jesus said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me as a friend? He now used the word, phileo. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you as a brother. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. At that time, Peter did not distinguish. He could understand the difference between the love of God, the divine love, and phileo, love as a friend. You see, friendly love, phileo, has limitations. Friendly love will last as long as no one do you harm. But friendship will end the moment somebody hurts you. Divine love will never end. Even if someone hurts you, you still have divine love for them, agape. It doesn't mean that you got to rub shoulders with people that are terrible all the time. If they don't want to repent, we simply would not fellowship with them. But you keep praying for them. You keep praying that God will touch them. That is divine love. Let's turn to Hebrews now, quickly. Hebrews chapter 3. That's Hebrews, the third chapter. Hebrews chapter 3. Let me read this to you from my outline. Many Christians are beaten down and intimidated by the devil that they cannot accept the fact that God loves them. They mistakenly believe that God loves everyone else but them. That's what I was. You believe for healing for everybody else but not me. You believe for good stuff for everyone but me. This is a sin, and we need to repent. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 15, we read the following. We are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. What is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in a provocation. For someone I had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that he should not enter his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief will hinder your healing. I'm not talking now about unbelief that God can heal you. I'm talking about the unbelief that you do not believe that God loves you. You have not accepted his forgiveness. You have not been able to say, I am forgiven. I am good. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm a child of the King. I am no longer evil. This is what you need to understand. You have to accept that. That you are a new creation. If you don't do that, it's unbelief. That's a sin. And that's why many people are healed. Because they cannot accept the word of God that says, I love you. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 6 right now. Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men rarely swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, or fled for refuge to lay hold upon a hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, which sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When you do not accept that you are forgiven, when you cannot love yourself and accept that God has forgiven you, you are saying this, God, you are a liar. That's what you're saying. That's a sin. God stands in heaven, and he said, by two immutable things, I swore. And that little person down there refuses to be forgiven. That's where you're not healed. We need to understand. I'm not going to call God a liar anymore. If he said he forgave me, I'm going to believe it. Turn to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. You see, most of us never thought about this. We've never been honest enough to really recognize. We said, well, it's kind of pious, you know. I'm really hard on myself. That's not pious. That's stupidity. That's sin. You need to begin to love yourself. Nourish yourself with the Word of God. Bask in the love of God. And begin to grow in grace. John 3:14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoso believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent on his Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world for him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God so loved the world. Would you say, well, I can't love myself? You're calling Jesus a liar. Let's be honest. We need to repent. 3 points here. When you say, I can't love myself, it's unbelief and a sin. It's calling God a liar, questioning his integrity. And you're stating that Jesus is unable to save all people. I hope today that the Holy Ghost has crushed all the walls that you have built up around yourself. Let's turn now to 1 John chapter 3. That is 1 John chapter 3. And I want you to have confidence in Jesus. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Perceive the love of God, because he gave it to us. He gave his life for us. And if we have that divine love coming to us, we should begin to have divine love flowing out from us. And then turn to verse number 18 in the same chapter. My little children, let us not love in word, nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Wow, look at this. My little children, let us not love in word, nor in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Here we go now. If you say, I'm saved, I believe this and that, but you still don't love yourself, you are not able to forgive and release, you're stuck. That's where you are sick, and you will not be healed until you come to the place, I will forgive in the name of Jesus. For heaven's sake, how many 2x4s will God have to hit you with before you realize, well, I got to forgive. I got to forgive myself. I got to forgive others. And I need to repent. That's the beginning. And hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Look in verse 21 now. Beloved, heart is a soul. If our soul condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. The soul has to accept, I am forgiven. I'm released. I'm not guilty anymore. I got no more guilt. I'm free. Free, free, free. And look what it says in the next verse. That's a bonus verse. And whatsoever we shall ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do things that are pleasing in his sight. In other words, if you are at peace with yourself, you love yourself, you have been forgiven, you have forgiven, whatever you ask, it shall be given to you. I used this illustration some time back. I use it again. Probably 20 years ago, there was a bus tour in Sweden. And they have certain factories there. This is a factory that would do glasses. They do all kind of crystal glasses and stuff. And they would pick up people in the town, 60 people or so on a bus. And they would drive to this particular factory. They would spend a day there to watch them make the glasses, so on, and so they could buy things. On their way back home from this glass factory, they were sitting in a bus, and all of them had purchased all kind of goodies, and they had big bags and so on. Suddenly, the engine of that bus caught fire, and before anyone knew, the whole bus was engulfed in flames. The bus driver threw open a door. They only had one door in the front. And screamed, "Get out! Don't take your stuff with you! Get out! Leave your stuff!" And you know what people did? They stood up and took all the stuff with them. And they all died in that bus because they could not leave the things they bought. The things they bought were so precious to them that they rather died than leave it and run for their lives. That's you that will not forgive. You're in that bus and you're told, run, get out of it, leave your baggage. And you stand there and hold it, oh, I can't let it go. How stupid can we get? Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm going to clinch this message with that. Faith and love go together. You cannot have faith without love. And you cannot have love without faith. These two gifts go together. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's wrap this message up now. You can take something home. God loves you. Jesus died for you on the cross, rose on the third day. Through his death and resurrection, you can be saved and forgiven. Now, God forgives you. Can you forgive yourself? You see, you might have made decisions early in your life. It might have been a vocation. It might have been about a marriage. It can be a number of different things. And you made the wrong decision. It altered your life and changed it forever. And now, 10 years, 30 years, 50 years, you look back, bitter. And you said, if I had not done that, my life would be different. You can't go back. Yesterday's gone. We'll never come back. Today is the day we have, and tomorrow we might have. And what you need to do is to simply say this. It's done. It's over. I can't redo it. God has forgiven me. My sin is blotted out. And I have today. You can rise and have a great future. Or you can stay in your bitterness and have a lousy time. Until God calls you off this planet. And then you go to heaven. And you come up there and say, what happened? Why? And Jesus said, man, I had 2x4, 2x6s. I had trucks run over you. I tried to talk to you, but you couldn't hear me. You didn't want to hear, so I took you out. You're saved. But here's a rag. Polish the floors. This is all the stuff I had for you. And you say, my bitterness kept it from me. I couldn't let go of my bitterness. And God said, I died for that sin too. I died even for that. Are you willing to give up your bitterness? And say, Lord, I might have wasted my life. I should have been a singer. I should have been a preacher. I should have been this. If I married that person, I would have had a different marriage life. Yeah, I'd lost my children, whatever it is. Let's come to this understanding. Yesterday is gone. It will never come back. You can stay bitter and mess up tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Or you can cut the bitterness and say, bitterness yesterday, today, the joy of the Lord, the love of God. And I'm going to be moving in divine love. And I begin, I am forgiving myself. I release my bitterness. I say, thank you, Jesus, for a new beginning. And I'm going to move in that anointing. That's what's offered to you. The question is, will you take it? Will you be like those 60 people on a Swedish bus about 30 years ago that died holding their goods in their bags instead of running and saving their lives? Tragedy. Now, I don't know how many of you got the message today, but I pray that someone got it. That someone today will move out of the gall of bitterness and begin to lift their hands and say, glory to God, I'm free. I'm forgiven. I love myself. And I am going to love and forgive. Father God, I pray right now that everyone watching, those in the chapel and those who are watching, listening, Father God, that they will be able to receive the greatest gift there ever is, forgiveness and love. If you're not saved and you say, well, you know, how do I get into this program? I explained salvation a few minutes ago. When we finish here, Charles Durant will come. You will not see him. You would hear him. And he would simply take the Bible, very carefully lead you step by step in how to be saved. And then he will ask you to pray with him. When you do that, you will be saved. If you're saved today, call us, write us, let us know so we can help you. And I pray today to God that someone today will be set free from bitterness and begin to praising the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Brother Thomas, you come and close.
Father God, thank you for the word today, for our many wonderful blessings, Lord. We're closing down the year 2016. And we look forward to a wonderful year in 2017. And we thank you for the message that tells about our inheritance and what we can have if we live in God's Word. We thank you for the Word of God. And I want to take this time also to lift up to you our political prisoners here in the United States of America. And I want to say that again. The United States of America has political prisoners. One of them being Schaefer Cox. And I thank you, Lord, that he will be released soon and out of that federal prison. And also the Bundy, the father and the brothers. And those that are being tried with them, that they will be found not guilty, and this corruption that is prevalent in the United States, in the government of the United States, will be rooted out. And we thank you also, Lord, that the Bundy family will be able to hear and receive Jesus Christ and not a false Jesus. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. I also lift up Schaefer Cox's family to you and ask that you would bless them. And those that have lied against him and dealt wrongfully with him, that they shall receive their just reward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places: heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said,
I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, Don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the eighth part in the series, The Letter to the Romans, and was entitled, The Love of God. One of the hardest things for a human being to understand is the love of God, because we are self-centered, easily provoked, quick to judge, full of gossip, and born liars. We don't have a lot to offer God because we are marred by sin. In fact, many Christians don't even like themselves and struggle with the idea of a loving God. They feel that God the Father merely tolerates them because Jesus died for their sins and just can't accept the fact that God loves them. They mistakenly believe that God loves everyone else but them. Does this describe you? If so, you are full of unbelief, questioning God's integrity, calling God a liar, and more or less stating that Jesus is unable to save everyone. King David is described as a man after God's own heart, even though he was a liar, adulterer, and murderer. David repented, and the Holy Spirit used him to write about repentance and restoration. Faith and love are cornerstones in Christianity. They are not mutually exclusive and cannot exist without each other. You too can have victory if you are willing to repent of your unbelief and believe that perfect love casts out all fear. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1579. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.